Siren Radio.
Excellent. Well, that answers all of that then. And as it is the third Wednesday in the month, it's time for us to actually press this button here.
Inspired on air, originated by Sarah Bullimore, named by Julie Ellaby, and with added Amelia Chambers and Alex Levchuk, taking the world of regional arts entertainment into a whole new dimension.
Excellent. That's what we like to hear. And in the studio, we have the awesomely wonderful Miss Lincolnshire Galaxy herself. It is Jasmine Foley. How are you, Jasmine?
Great, thank you so much for having me.
Excellent. I'd like to connect with your good self because, of course, we've only got a matter of days now before the big event takes place. That's the March the 8th UK final.
Yes,
of
indeed.
The whole thing.
Yes.
We're going to find out about what... Well, tell us, what is Miss Lincolnshire Galaxy? Because I was talking about this earlier with a few fine folk and they were saying, is that like a chocolate bar? No. Talk to us about it.
So the Galaxy pageant, so it's UK Galaxy pageant that I'm competing in. There's also an international Galaxy pageant, which has a director, Maria, and then we have the UK Galaxy pageant, which is directed by Holly. And the competition creates a platform for girls to compete in the UK and go out to the internationals in Orlando, Florida, to compete for the international title in August.
So, which, of course, you'll win, obviously. And
it's done. We can hope, yeah.
Yeah, we'll vote for third. So, again, you obviously decided to go in for this whole process. Talk us about the whole thing when you said, yeah, that's it, I'm going to go for that.
Well, it's something that I've been very curious about since a quite a young age. I think since I was a teenager, I'd always thought about doing pageants. But I was probably didn't have the self-esteem to go for it then. I think I'd have worried too much what other people thought of me. But definitely as I've got older, and now I'm married as well, so I'm in the Mrs. category, and I've gained a lot of confidence. So I think now was the right time, and I'm at that point now where, you know, I've got that confidence myself to go out and do it, so
well, as we know, a couple of weeks back you were sharing this with Miss Chloe, who is, of course, Miss Lincolnshire, for another sort of line from that point of view, so it all works. We're going to find out about how people can actually support you actively in a whole variety of other bits and pieces after your first choice of music, which is a little touch of Beyonce.
Indeed.
Who run this mother? 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 Who run this mother?
people around the world. Well, women do, obviously. Beyonce. And it's worth noting that today, of course, is National Love Your Pet Day. Just like to share that with you.
We'll find out and more. I do love my pet.
Yeah, you would hope so too. Yes, Love Your Pet Day. We're speaking to a wonderful vet and indeed a carer with respect to how pets are good for us in all sorts of wonderful ways. They build our self-esteem and so on. Much like Mrs. Lincolnshire Galaxy. Let's get the name right here because looking at your Facebook page, of course, yesterday you had you were promoting the notion of a prize of afternoon tea for two at the Lincoln Hotel, which of course is going to be in the raffle at your charity party.
That's
very good from that point of view. More talk to us about this charity party, Jasmine.
Okay, so as part of competing in Galaxy, you raise money for the chosen charity, which is the Christie Charity,
which is an awesome cancer charity.
Yes, indeed it is. And actually, since 2014, Galaxy Girls have raised over £222,000 for that charity, which is amazing. And I'm contributing towards that at the moment, so I've nearly raised nearly £400 so far, and I have a charity party that I'm throwing the weekend before Galaxy, so it's going to be a bit of a send-off. A lot of my family and friends are coming, but it's also open to anybody, so if they want to look for me on Facebook, Mrs. Lincolnshire Galaxy Jasmine Foley, and they can message me about purchasing tickets for that, and we're having an amazing raffle as well.
Well, I've just actually officially liked that page. Mrs. Lincolnshire Galaxy 2018-19 Jasmine Foley. Very good. Also at Mrs. Lincolnshire Galaxy, presumably, for Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah, so my Instagram is mrs.lincolnshire.galaxy.
So it's all putting into place there. So we were going to say, is that all people need to do, or can they actually help in other ways to ensure that Mrs. Lincolnshire Galaxy represents Lincoln and Lincolnshire, and indeed Inspired on Air, at the Grand Florida Finals?
So I've been doing a lot of things in the community. I'm a volunteer at Age UK. So on Valentine's Day, actually, I went to an afternoon tea dance there, which was amazing. I had the best time. And I had a lot of people showing me a lot of good dance moves and all the official dances, which was amazing. And I've helped out a lot of charity balls, anything that I've really been able to do in the community to help. So if there's any businesses that need any help in that way, they can add me on social media and just get in contact with me. I'm more than happy to help in the community.
So you've got all of this. You've obviously got your sash on, which you're wearing at present, which is great. We'll put that up online soon. And, of course, you've got a full-time job at the Lincoln New Theatre Royal. We mentioned that as well, which is where How do you cope? I mean, how do you juggle those balls as well?
Well, it's a lot of work. When I first got the title of Mrs. Lincolnshire Galaxy, I was also finishing my Masters in Journalism at the time. So I had three kind of things going at once. And it was a lot of work, but I think, especially with the pageant, you're doing so much with people and you are making a difference and it makes it worthwhile. So I can find the time for that. And with everything else, I mean, if you want something and you enjoy it, then you find the time. There's a lot of juggling going on.
You
but
create the time. We're going to talk about what your highlights have been so far in your journey, obviously, to represent the county in the grand finals. And also, is there a way in which people can vote at the day itself, or is it just a case of, no, it's actually on the evening of the event, on March the 8th?
So it's just on the evening of the event, but a huge part of the scoring is on the interview. A lot of it's about what you've been doing, your plans going forward if you are to win the title. So if someone would like to help me along on that journey, anything, get in
so
touch
we can actually
with me.
You can have a mock interview really after the next piece of music, couldn't we?
We can. A lot of pressure, but we can try.
As long as you don't mention world peace. Well, you can mention world peace, but it's just a different line entirely.
Well, actually, I have been asked by a couple of people whether this pageant is to do with world peace. Mm. And I mean, I think,
or galactic peace.
Of course. Well, I think world peace, like, wouldn't we all love world peace? But what the
better than a world in pieces.
Well, what the pageant girls do is so much it's so much more substantial than that. We do a lot of work to help people, but I definitely wouldn't say it's about, you know, world peace. It's a lot more kind of substantial. So
we're going to be talking to Jasmine Foley again after Aretha Franklin and the Eurythmics.
To be a great woman, but I'm in need.
Okay, we've identified that the Mrs. Lincolnshire Galaxy finals are on the 8th of March. That's March the 8th, that's the grand routine. And winners, of course, will go to the international events in Orlando, Florida. And, of course, the important part is it's raising money for the Christie Charity, which, of course, is doing lots of other wonderful things, as well as, of course, getting actively involved with the local community. And in the studio, we have, of course, Mrs. Lincolnshire 2019 herself. It's the fabulous Jasmine Foley. Jasmine, you'd like to give a couple of mentions to one of your sponsors who've been actively involved, obviously, in supporting you on the journey so far.
Yeah, so I've been extremely lucky. When I got the title of Mrs. Lincolnshire Galaxy, I was looking for a sponsor, and I managed to find a sponsor in Heather, and she's the owner of Glitz and Glamour Boutique in Sleaford. And I just really can't thank her enough for all the support she's given me. She gives me dresses to wear to a lot of the different events that I go to, and obviously that can get really expensive. So
technically it's Jasmine Foley dressed by Glitz and
yes,
Glamour.
Yes, indeed Sleaford. It is. Yes.
Who are you wearing? Obviously wearing Glitz and Glamour. Sleaford.
Yes, of course. Yeah, most events when I'm there, especially in her beautiful gowns, I'm always wearing Glitz and Glamour. And she's just been a huge support in just in terms of just a huge boost of confidence. And she's just a really bright, positive person. So it's been a lovely influence to have as well while I've been competing.
You've been involved with Tea Dancers.
Yes.
What other highlights have you actually had on your journey so far?
Well, there's been so many. Loads of new experiences. So, like I say, I've helped at lots of different charity events. It's really opened my eyes to actually how much you can do in the community, because I think until you really throw yourself in there, it's hard to know all these different opportunities that are there. But now that I've been actively looking, there's so many different things that I've been able to do in terms of just going to balls and helping with raffles, going, like I say, to
and you've
tea
come
dance.
To this first degree was at the University of Lincoln. Home
yes,
of Siren Radio, of course.
Yeah.
Master's degree in journalism,
yeah.
Sort of through there. You've worked within the University Careers Department. You're working, as we mentioned, as a marketing executive for the New Theatre Royal Lincoln. Were there any times in your moment where you sort of thought, yeah, actually, I'd quite fancy doing Mrs. Lincolnshire Galaxy as well? I mean, it's just another string to the bow in terms of that. Does it all fit together? Because there are, I might say, it's an unusual connection there.
Yeah, so actually, as the time's gone since I've done the pageant, because obviously when I first went into doing this pageant, I hadn't done it before. Mm. So I've had to learn a lot about what pageants are really about and what I need to do. And I've found that a lot of business skills are needed in pageantry, and obviously I've got a business degree, advertising and marketing, so from the business school, and I've worked in a lot of kind of business type roles.
I guess what I'm trying to get to, Jasmine, is, you know, advice for people who might be sort of in the position you were a few years ago, thinking, oh, I couldn't possibly do that, or oh, I don't want to do that, etc. And actually, you've proven in a sense you can do that. How do they actually conquer those initial nerves or whatever?
So for me, I think I used
Part
to
of
have
marriage, obviously.
Well, I used to have a fear of failure. I think a few years ago, I would have feared trying anything that people might kind of not agree with, or in case I fail. And I think a lot of people have fear of failure. Mm-hmm. But I think, like, if you do try something and you fail, like, one, you haven't failed, because you learn a lot from the journey of doing something, even if it doesn't work out in the end.
No and such things as failures, exactly, only positive learning opportunities.
Exactly. And then also, what's the worst that can happen? You can throw yourself into these situations, something great could come out of it, or it couldn't work out. And if it doesn't work out, it's not the end of the world. You can always try something else. So there's always opportunities, and you have to go for it. You only live once.
Take it and move on. It's
yes.
Fantastic. I mean, it's like having Chloe Rose twice in the studio. It's amazing. Another positive soul from that point of view, as we mentioned. Sand and Chloe's Vision will be back with us before too long. But now, keeping the musical theme going for the female perspective, it's a little blast of Helen Reddy, Australian singer extraordinaire, who way before your time, Jasmine. But I think the theme is very much to the programme's form.
I am woman, hear me roar, in numbers too big to ignore, and I know too much to go back and pretend, 'cause I've heard it all before, and I've been down there on the floor, no one's ever gonna keep me down again, whoa. Yes, I'm wise, but it's wisdom for the pain.
'cause it only serves to make me more determined to achieve my final goal. And I come back even stronger, not a novice.
Still to come on Inspired on Air. Slightly different Inspired on Air because it's got a theme of Miss Lincolnshire Galaxy. Plus, of course, Love Your Pet Day, which is coming up in a few moments, and we'll be speaking to Julia Stend as well as two fine folk, Neve and Dr. Joe, who will be talking about Love Your Pet Day, even if it's a goldfish. Do you have a pet at all?
I do. I have a mini Yorkshire Terrier, and his name's Zebedee.
Right, very good for cardiothoracic workouts, and indeed very few people who actually have dogs and canines actually suffer from heart problems, apparently, according to a recent survey that's put together.
Well, I'm definitely glad I've got a dog.
Exactly. Then. Just shows the whole thing. It is writ large. All right. As I say, days away. We'll be featuring you again, hopefully, on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. But if we were asking you to encapsulate Mrs. Lincolnshire Galaxy in one sort of scenario, what would you say? Is it awesome? Is it wonderful? One word to sum up the whole thing.
I think it's been inspirational, I'd say, for myself.
For Inspired on Air, that's what we're looking for. Inspirational. It's great stuff, that. We look forward to seeing that. And, of course, media coverage, we'll just wait and see with socials and all the rest of the bits and pieces. A reminder, how can people actually support you actively? Obviously, Mrs. Lincolnshire Galaxy 2018-19 for Facebook. They'll find you there.
Yeah. And Mrs.Lincolnshire.Galaxy on Instagram.
That's all you need. Also, do you have a preference, Instagram or Facebook? Facebook, you describe as more of an Instagram person, but
yeah. I used to prefer Instagram. Now that I'm doing this and I have more of like a business page on Facebook, I get a lot more use out of that because I want to write a lot more about what I'm doing. So the posts on Facebook give me the ability to write a little bit more text about what I'm doing, but I have to say I'm a lover of Instagram. I sway much more to Instagram.
There you are. That's the message from Mrs. Lincolnshire Galaxy 2018-2019. Jasmine Foley, we wish you well. We'll see you again before the actual event itself, which, of course, is March the 8th.
Yeah.
And we'll see you probably on the Midweek Drive in a week and a bit's time.
Okay, thank you so much for having me.
Hooray!
we turning up. Yeah.
Now, over the years, we've been very concerned about, obviously, ingredients for human beings not being correctly specified, but it seems that our furry friends are having challenges as well with respect to dogs in particular, with pet food being sold that doesn't list the ingredients. 95% of dog food from big brands doesn't actually disclose the ingredients and use generic terms like meat derivatives. Now, to talk about some of the shocking findings that was part of this report by Paws.com, we're delighted to welcome a director at Paws.com, the wonderful Julia Stent. How are you, Julia?
Good morning. Very good, thanks.
Good. So this particular thing, 42% of dog owners don't know what's in the food they give their dogs. Okay, I can see with that. But I was just shocked to find that, you know, foods identified as with chicken could contain as little as 4% chicken.
Yeah, absolutely. I think from what we've found out, nearly one in two owners don't know what's going on in their food. And really, when you look at the shocks that we found within the report, some of this really surprised me. You mentioned there about 95% of big brands have at least one undisclosed ingredient. And that can be things like meat derivatives, and that can be meat, but that could also be things like feathers or beaks or hooves, which I don't know about you, but I just wouldn't expect to be in food.
Well, that's certainly stretching the whole question of meat derivatives, basically, from that point. I mean, if you're including feathers as well, you're thinking, I don't think so. It's just, I mean, clearly, you know, this is fundamentally mendacious that, you know, consumers are being lied to.
Well, from what we've heard, 9 out of 10 orders, owners are calling for greater transparency in labels, and we really want to be able to support that. So the transparency report looks at the best-selling dog foods across the UK to help pet parents understand what's actually in their dog food. And as well as that, to make things even easier, we've created the world's first traffic light system for dog food. And you mentioned there that we care a lot about what goes on in our own food. We want to make it just as easy to be able to understand what you're feeding your dog.
Absolutely. Now, again, looking at some of the other details that, again, caused eyebrows to be raised from that point of view, dog obesity, a bit like human obesity, it's at an all-time high. Clearly, it doesn't help matters if we're sort of not sure what we're feeding our dogs, if we're looking to obviously control what they're about. And presumably, some of these additional items don't exactly help the whole obesity crisis.
Yeah, absolutely. And if one in every two dogs is overweight, that has the same kind of consequences as it does for people. So things like joint problems or heart problems. And I mean, I'm a pet owner myself, and that's just not the life that I would want for my pets. And then there's other things like artificial additives that are being added to food to theoretically help keep it fresh. So, for example, things like E numbers that have got artificial colours for the food. But dogs can't actually see colour in the same way that we can. So that's actually just added for the owner to be able to see. Or things like there's a preservative called propylene glycol, and this is an ingredient in antifreeze, and it's also an ingredient in some of the top-selling puppy foods in the UK. So really, there's so much misinformation out there, so much of these complicated terms to be able to understand. What we'd really encourage is for pet parents to be able to arm themselves with information. And our transparency report and the dog food checker at Paws are our first steps to be able to help with that.
If dog owners are concerned about this, and I suspect many people will be, would the best place to go to be Paws.com? Would that be a case of where they can obviously find out the food checker and at least take that step in terms of actually finding out some information?
Yeah, absolutely. So at Paws, there is the dog food checker where you can look up an individual food. You can also compare between different foods. And the good news is there are some great brands out there, some of which we sell on Paws. And really, we want to be able to help pet parents to be able to understand what's good and what's not, no matter what your budget is. We understand that not everyone can afford to buy the absolute top end food. So we're trying to help understand what the options are that are out there.
Today is obviously Love Your Pet Day, and presumably this crosses all sorts of boundaries from that point of view. Do you think a similar thing is happening for cat food and other animal food as well? I mean, I know we're talking about dogs here primarily, but is it likely to sort of cross species as well?
I think a lot of the findings would apply cross species, but as far as we're aware, we're the first people that have done this, of making this traffic light system for dog food. We would love to expand it out into other pets. So this is just the first thing that you'll see from Paws. We've got big ambitions for how we want to help people really pet parent like a pro.
And will it be the power of the consumer that ultimately decides this kind of thing? Because I'm conscious that there might well be companies who will be putting in feathers and toenails and clippings and all sorts of things, and hooves and beaks and so on.
Yeah.
And say, well, what the hey, as long as they're buying it, we don't care.
Well, yes, and it's a major expense for most dog owners. I mean, it's a £1.4 billion industry in the UK. So what we want to do is just help arm people with that information so they can understand where they want to spend their money and, more importantly, what they want to do for the health of their pets.
Were you at all surprised, Julie, when you actually saw the results? I mean, was it something which you thought, my goodness, I knew there was a challenge. I didn't think it was this difficult.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I think everyone would be, to be honest. It's a really huge proportion of that sort of default buying behaviour within supermarkets or from the big brands.
A reminder that it's paws.com, P-A-W-S.com to go to find out further details, etc. Julie, it's been wonderful sharing some thoughts with your good self today. Hopefully we'll connect with you again when the prognosis might be getting a little bit better.
Absolutely.
For food and our pets.
We look forward to it. Thank you, Alex.
Here's a song I sing for you about a girl that I once knew, Julia. She lived in a great big house with golden gates where servants bowed for Julia. Unashamed, I'd sit outside and wait for hours, hoping that she'd climb down from her ivory towers. This beautiful girl, as pretty as any flower, had a hold on me. Upstairs in my lonely room, I would dream of being cool with Julia. I lived in obsessive bliss, carefully planning my first kiss of Julia. One day I was feeling awfully brave and asked her if she'd like to come out on a date. I just had to. She bent down and gently kissed my face and said, oh, someday. To tell the truth, she didn't even know I existed, Julia. Summer took her pretty clothes, winter came in gray and snow, Julia. And I found out she'd moved away, her best friend said, to the North Country, Julia. This happened many years ago, my friend. Regrettably, there is no happy end. Oh no, she was 14, I was only 10. Oh my Julia.
Fantastic news is, it is Love Your Pet Day, and pets make us so happy and joyful and so on. And now we've got the actual scientific evidence to actually prove it. And to talk us through some of the fabulous findings with respect to this, we're delighted to welcome Niamh Carwood from the Mayhew Animal Welfare Charity. Good morning, Niamh.
Good morning.
And the wonderful veterinarian extraordinaire, that would be Dr. Jo Gale. How are you, Jo?
Very well, thank you, darling.
Excellent. If we come to you first, Niamh, I mean, clearly this survey that's actually demonstrated that pets can help us both physically and mentally, it's good news, and it kind of is almost the blinking obvious, really.
Yes, indeed. So one of the things that we do at Therapos is we it's a pet animal therapy program where we visit people in care homes and hospitals, and we see the benefits that it helps them every single day. Particularly for people in care home, you would find a lot of time they would have had to give up a pet to go into care, and to actually have, you know, someone come in and spend time with them, it helps them obviously relieve stress, it you know, improves their mood, particularly with people who have Alzheimer's and dementia, we find it actually helps unlock memories for them, and for some people, you know, it's the absolute highlight of their week and it's the only reason they get out of bed.
Joe, we often talk about how we are, as human beings, stewards on the planet. We kind of have a duty of responsibility and a duty of care for all the other species that are actually there. Looking at this research, I mean, clearly, we are symbiotically connected. I mean, it is a case of it's a mutually beneficial relationship when these things work with our pets.
Yes, you're absolutely right. So the bond is two-way. So we obviously get a lot of benefit from spending time with pets, and pets can benefit from that too if we care for them properly and we enrich their lives. And it's actually been shown that when somebody interacts with a dog, they release the hormone, the love hormone, oxytocin, which is the same hormone that's released when somebody, a mother, interacts with her child or a baby. And not only that, but the dog releases it too. So it really is a two-way bond. When that's happening, the bond is being strengthened all the time. So yeah, you're absolutely right. Both parties benefit.
We were talking earlier about a survey that was carried out by Paws.com about the strangeness of ingredients that are finding its way into various pet foods and so on. That's sort of the negative side of this particular pet day. But how can we actually ensure that our pets are given more love, appropriate love? Because you don't want to get chocolate treats for your dog. No, please don't. What's the key thing in terms of how we can actually show our pets more affection?
Well, the real key thing for me is about what would your pet like? What would your pet choose? And quite often your pet would choose to spend time with you. So spend time with your pet, interacting with them, playing with them, exercising them, perhaps get a new toy that you can play with together, because that's what brings real richness to pets' lives. So you can show your love in lots of ways, in the care that you give them, the proper care, the proper nutrition. That's showing your love every day, not just on Love Your Pet Day.
And it is obviously quite a key factor. We noticed that a recent survey suggested 42% of dogs are actually obese these days, so they're following them. Again, I think what you just said, exercise, various other bits and pieces, it's a win-win situation.
Absolutely. So it's important to care for your pet. There's lots of different things you need to take into account, and it depends on the type of pet you have and their individual needs. So it's about understanding what they need and giving that to them. So it is about the right food. It's about the right amount of exercise. It's about your time. And it's really about making their lives as rich as possible as their pet owner.
Niamh, returning back to yourself in terms of the Mayhew Animal Welfare Charity, I mean, we've already talked about the benefits that come through from that point of view. Presumably much better than actually using a social media device and platform, various other bits and pieces. At least you can interact with a pet slightly more positively.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just sort of thinking in terms of you, much as one might like one's smartphone, you don't really want to pet it in that sort of way, really. It's not going to respond. Well, I suppose it might, technologically speaking. But again, from your own point of view, were you surprised by this research at all, or was it just a case of, again, fairly straightforward?
No, absolutely not. I mean, we have, Mayhew organisation has been going for over 130 years. It started out, obviously, just rehoming cats, and then obviously over the years it's progressed into an animal welfare organisation. So we see that human-animal bond every single day in everything we do, not just in Therapos, which is our pet delivery programme, but also in the other work that we do with our animal welfare officers in the community, where we actually work with people and help them actually strengthen that animal bond by helping them keep in their animals. You know, and we see it every single day when people come in to rehome the cats and the dogs, and we hear wonderful stories and the feedback that we get from people who have taken dogs and cats from us as well down the line.
It's particularly impressed to find that the American Heart Association concludes that dog owners have a lower risk of cardiovascular disease than non-owners. Again, you know, it shows the benefits of walking your dog regularly and so on, as opposed to getting dog walkers to do it for you. And that brings me to the other point, Joe. Do you find sometimes, with the hectic lives in which we live, that actually the responsibility of looking after a pet, and it is a case of responsibility, it proves to be too much, so maybe we need to look at petting zoos and various other ways in which people can interact with animals?
I think there are lots of ways that people can be with animals, even if they don't have the right lifestyle right now to have a pet of their own. And you're right, responsible pet ownership, as we call it at Mars Pet Care, is really key. It's about the type of pet, whether you've got the right time, environment and needs for them. But if you don't, you can spend time with pets. Like you say, you can visit pets. You can spend time with friends who have pets. You can help exercise other people's pets or even get involved with one of the pet charities like Mayhew. So you can spend time helping the pets themselves and also other people too. So there's lots of ways to do that, and really powerful ways.
And I think you could probably start off somewhere small, like with a goldfish, you know, and you can work your way up to when you do have more time to spend, you know, like, for example, a cat or a dog, or, you know, there's rabbits and guinea pigs or chicks. There's lots of different ways that you can actually pet. We're not just talking about cats and dogs.
I'm glad you mentioned the goldfish, Niamh. I think vastly underrated in many ways, and it was one of my first pets as well from that perspective. Niamh, do you have a pet yourself?
I do. I have two Jack Russell Terriers.
And Joe, same question?
Yes, I've got a dog, a black Labrador called Maggie. She's here right with me now.
Yay.
On the floor. I also have 3 horses and 7 chickens, so it's quite a mini farm going on back
it's
home.
It's almost a small holding. In fact, it is a small holding. Yeah. Amazing. And finally, Niamh, where can we can go to find out further information online to find out details about what we've been talking about today?
So everything you want to know about the Mayhew is at www.themayhew.org.
And if you want to find out more about science, bit of behind the benefits of pets, then follow us, Waltham Science, on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram, and you'll get all the latest science stories about this.
Fantastic. It's been a delight sharing some thoughts with your good selves on Love Your Pet Day, presumably the event. I mean, the 20th of February is obviously this is going to be an annual celebration. We have to have it as an annual basis, really. So I think it's very important. Dr. Joe Gale and Niamh Carwood, many thanks indeed, and happy pet owning.
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you.
Saltburn by the Sea. Yes, I know we've covered it several times with respect to a variety of things, including the International Food Festival, but who would have thought it would be given a full honourable mention in terms of the best value destinations found in the UK, as well as Tuin as well. It's amazing. Staycations are becoming more popular, probably due to a variety of factors, maybe even connected with the B word, which we won't discuss here, but to address the top 2018 staycation destinations and probably give some indications in terms of where we should consider exploring in the UK this year, we're delighted to welcome Regional Director for the UK and Ireland for Home Away. That would be the amazing Karen Mullins. How are you, Karen?
Hello, I'm very well, thank you.
And travel expert Frank Rahaney. How are you, Frank?
I'm very well, Alex.
Excellent. Frank, if we can come to you first, is it a case of sometimes we travel far and wide and don't realise we've got some real jewels on our own doorstep?
I think, Alex, that's absolutely correct. And I think what's made people realise that, well, there are two factors. There is obviously the uncertainty around at the moment, but I think the really important factor is the hot weather that we had last year. And that, in the Home Away survey, indicates that the staycation is not just here to stay, but it's certainly going to grow into 2019.
Possible positive from global warming, perhaps. Temperatures are 35.3 degrees centigrade, an average of £38 per person per night in destinations like Faversham in Kent. It's a win-win situation, as you say.
Yes, I think it is a win-win situation because at the moment, currency is the motivator for consumers. They're looking at those precious pounds in their pockets. They want this better value, and they're looking for good accommodation. And I think the other factor here, Alex, is they're looking for new experiences. And tied in with that is the genuine home experience versus the corporate hotel bed experience. They're looking for something personal. They're looking for their own front door, something that's a little bit more relaxing. And, you know, in Lincolnshire, you know, 24% increase in people coming to visit your area for staycations. You know, in Lincoln, up by 6%. Tattersall, up by 18%. That's the story. That's the good news story for all those events out there in the Lincolnshire area.
Well, of course, we've got cathedrals. We've got, of course, Mapplethorpe by the sea. We've got a variety of other bits and pieces. Karen, were you surprised by the destinations and locations? I mean, we started off by talking about Saltburn, which I often thought, well, it's a bit further north than Scarborough and Whitby and further south than Redcar. But in terms of your own experiences, was this something which you thought, yeah, that's interesting? Well, I mean, the fact that number one, Amble in Northumberland, demand up 207%.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, I mean, and Boughton on the Water, which I used to go to as a child with my parents. Yeah, it's really surprising ones, and it shows that people are really stretching further than the obvious destinations. And that Frank said, you know, we're really looking for new experiences, and so rather than just go somewhere and have your package holiday, you're looking to go somewhere where you can actually experience the culture, go to local events and try the local food. I mean, one destination which is always one of a favourite for our customers is St Ives, and I actually had friends in Lincolnshire and four or five groups of families and friends as children. We all used to go down to St Ives, so they used to travel down from Lincolnshire overnight in the car.
It's going east coast to west coast, let's be honest, really.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, and so, I mean, the summer last year, if we mention the B word, I'd say boiling hot summer. I mean, last year we had such a fantastic summer that people really wanted to go and explore the coast around the UK. You didn't need to go away. Although, having said that, people often have their one holiday abroad in like a shorter break in the UK.
So I'm sure Prime Minister Theresa May would be delighted if she could substitute a B word with boiling hot summer, but that's a different line entirely. Okay, we've looked at 2018, and clearly the top three destinations, you've already mentioned one, St Ives, number two, Edinburgh, and London, perhaps not surprisingly, still number one from that point of view. What about 2019? Are we going to see a shift in which, yes, actually people will actually say, no, we'll go to an L place, but it'll be Lincoln as opposed to London?
We're already seeing through this year an even bigger increase in staycations. So the initial demand that we've seen so far, January, start of February, is really for as well as overseas trips for staycations. So the Cornwall and Devon and Dorset always proven really, really popular, and Lincoln again. So yeah, it'd be really interesting to see what holds for the rest of the year.
Frank, one of the other sort of aspects, of course, about staycations is that there are more and more festivals set up across the base. We've got the Newark Book Festival in July. We've got all sorts of country shows and various other things. So there are lots of things that are happening there. It's not just a case of saying, oh, we'll just go up to Yorkshire and, I don't know, just sit in a caravan for various other things. There are lots of events that people can go to as well.
Yes, there are. And in fact, you know, you were mentioning Saltburn there. I was intrigued to read about the Summer Sound of Music Festival, which is apparently a festival full of tribute bands. Oh boy, would I love to go to that. You know, it's the poor man's way of going to see ABBA, as it were. But, you know, it's those kind of experiences, you know, as Karen said, you know, the food, you know, the stately homes, castles, whatever it is. And, you know, the hot weather, you know, we've got some fantastic coastline and fantastic countryside, hills, mountains, whatever. You know, holidaymakers, consumers that I've been speaking to, I think are growing tired of the all-inclusive and the, you know, the 17-pool, you know, big thrilling slide in the middle of it and the pressure from the kids. They're looking for something that's a little bit more gentle, a little bit stress-free, and, you know, what better place to go? You know, 24% increase in Lincolnshire. That tells the story, Alex.
And you don't even have to have a passport yet. Who knows? if Yorkshire declares UDI, who knows what can actually happen? Karen, where's your favourite holiday vacation for staycation? If I was to pin you down, would you actually sort of say, actually, ultimately, I would really like to go to Seton Carew in the northeast?
I mean, I've got a few favourites. I think my favourite still has to be Cornwall because I went there every year as a child, but all over. I mean, I literally, in the last month, I've been to Aldbrough and Suffolk. I just went over to Galway in Ireland, which is not quite a staycation.
That's great.
But it's amazing. The scenery is fantastic. You know, the UNESCO site.
Yeah, as a regional director for the UK and Ireland, clearly, it's within your brief.
Exactly. Yeah, it is. And I did that as part of my brief. You know, one has to put yourself through these things. and went to the cliffs of Moher, which are just fantastic.
Yeah.
I love all of the destinations here. So I'm trying to make my way through the list.
And Frank, same question for yourself. Is there one sort of part which sort of said, yeah, ultimately I want to actually check out Saltfleet in Lincolnshire?
Yes, that's definitely on my list as we speak. But I would subscribe to Karen's list there. Galway City is fantastic. But, you know, my favourite lists here on the mainland, I love Cornwall. I love down towards St Ives and Portreath. You know, going down to some of the little coves and seeing flocks of seals, you know, are just there basking on the beach. And up onto Cardigan Bay and, you know, up into the northeast, you know, towards Middlesbrough and up towards the borders there, onto Stanhope Moor and, you know, Bamborough Castle. Oh, my goodness, there's so much to choose from.
It's not for nothing we have an annual Love Middlesbrough event, so that's a different line entirely.
Well, I do my best.
Exactly. Or indeed even discover Middlesbrough. You'll find it. Captain Cook did, then he left. But anyway, that's a different line entirely. Where can people go to find further details, Karen? Which website would you point our listener to?
I would point them to homeaway.co.uk. And actually, if they have a home to rent out, you could also go to the same site and earn some pounds as well as get reasonable holidays.
Sage advice as ever, Karen Mullins, Regional Director for the UK and Ireland for Home Away, and Frank Breheny, travel expert extraordinaire. Many thanks indeed. Take care now.
All the best.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And so the February 2019 edition of Inspired on Air comes to a close, in which we thank the aforementioned Karen Mullins, Frank Breheny, Julia Stent, Neve Carwood, Dr. Joe Gale, and, of course, the wondrous Mrs. Lincolnshire Galaxy, Jasmine Foley, who, of course, launched the show and will continue to actually represent Lincoln in all sorts of wonderful ways. No studio co-presenters left with us, so all I have to say is, collectively, be inspired.